Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to High School Hoops. Happy Wednesday. Today we're doing kind of in memory of Ted Anderson recently died, coached the game, and then died that season. And there's been a lot of outpouring, and I got to know Ted a lot over the last couple of years. He's been on the podcast a couple of times, and I just thought it would be fitting to have him on this week, kind of in living memory of him. So I hope you enjoy. It's a little bit longer than our typical High School Hoops podcast, but I hope you enjoy. Have a great day. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the most innovative, you know, technological machine you'll ever find, and it's so easy to use. You know, we have three of them. We love them. They're always giving to the community, but they're always innovating on their own products too. So go over and check them out. Mention Coach Unplugged, and they'll give you $400 off for Coach Collins. And also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's got everything you need to become a better basketball coach. We always tell our players that we want them to work on their craft. Well, are you working on yours? And that's one of the ways I've worked on my craft. It's something, you know, from someone that's coached a nationally ranked team, that has won numerous state titles, that has done those things. This is what, you know, I spent several years putting this together of things that I could share with the world to make coaches better. And the roadmap will take care of it, and we'll walk you through everything you need. So go over and check it out. And just in closing, if you like this podcast, go over and check out High School Hoops. Go over and check out the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast. Go over and check out Funnel Down Defense Podcast. All of them are great. And leave a 5-star review. We'd love that. All right. Have a great day.
All right. Welcome. All right, Coach Anderson, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. And what I like to do is kind of have people, because most people I have on are teachers. So I would love you to kind of tell about your teaching journey first, kind of how you got into it, kind of how it started and where it went. And then after that, you know, we'll jump into coaching, we'll jump into your side gig, we'll do all that kind of stuff. But I always interested in how people kind of get into this side hustle or this gig of we call teaching kind of thing. So
certainly. Well, I, my parents taught for 64 combined years at Vassar High School. So I was a teacher's kid and had,
did they meet there?
No, they grew up in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. They met there, and then they both taught there in that district for 64 years.
Okay. My parents, I'm fifth generation. I think I might be the last one. just because of the state of affairs in education
right now.
Which is sad. But my parents met in an elementary school. They actually got married in a gym, so you'll appreciate that. So
that's really cool.
You can see the water fountains in the backgrounds of their pictures. But
I was very, I've been at school every day of my life.
Right. Since
5 years old, even before that. And my journey basically began, I knew I wanted to teach and coach. I went to the gym with my dad every Sunday while he graded papers. And, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. So when I was in grade school and middle school, I called every play a quarterback.
Right.
Had a lot of responsibility. Coaches gave you a lot of responsibility then.
Yep.
And then, my teaching journey, I went to Pittsburgh State in Kansas. And learned a lot about the game of football and knew a lot of the things that we were doing in football when I was in high school was wrong.
Right.
And when I say wrong, it was more disorganized. Dennis Franchione was the coach, most efficient. Probably the word I'd give teachers is learn how to be efficient.
Right.
and I grew up in the 70s and 80s, which was good and bad. But I did, my student, just to talk about teaching, my student teaching didn't go well at all.
No, mine didn't either. I did part of mine in a middle school, and I walked into that, and I remember calling my parents. That's when you had to call them on like a phone.
Oh, certainly.
And I said, I'm not going back into a middle school. Like, either it's going to be high school or I'm going to do something else. Like, I ain't doing this.
I was in a K-8 building, and I expected everything to be like it was when I was in grade school. And
right.
But I was in a different place, and my wife and I were getting married, and she said, well, what are you going to do if it's not any good, your first teaching job? And I said, well, I'll go one more place and then try to do something else.
Right.
But my first year of teaching was just unbelievable. I had great kids, and I didn't have a lot of problems.
Right.
And my second year was terrible. Part of it was I wasn't very good. I had an extra prep and did some different things. I wrote down everything I was going to change, and after that, everything was fine.
Right. And the thing is, this was one of my, I don't know if it's summary year or summative, whatever. It's a year I got evaluated this last year, and I remember sitting down with the principal and blah, blah, blah. A lot of it was just small talk stuff. But I said, this was the first year, and this last year was the year 30 of me teaching.
Okay.
I said, I feel like I'm in my stride. And he starts laughing. He goes, what do you mean? I go, the last couple of years have been I'm 52. I said, I feel like I got this. Like, I feel like finally and it's taken 30 years to get to that point. Like, how many classes have I taught to get to the point where it's like,
certainly. And when I first, the building I taught in a middle school that was very, very structured. My first 17 years of teaching.
Right.
And I thought it was great, but I only taught seventh grade. So I only had the kids 1 year. They only had to put up with me 1 year. And now where I am, I'm at a K-8 building. I teach sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And midway through that first year, I went, oh, golly, I'm going to have these sixth and seventh graders again next year. So you've got to make and that can be a good and a bad thing.
Right.
And it's turned into a very, very good thing. But you better be ready, because whatever you allow in sixth and seventh grade, they're going to try to get away with more. And middle school kids are an interesting animal. People look
I take it as a lot of people consider it the black hole of education.
It is.
But it is there should be an island. There should literally be an island where we send them. And then they come back when they're human beings again from that. Like,
Certainly.
It's a tough stretch. And it hasn't gotten any easier with social media and all the stuff we're throwing at them now. It hasn't gotten easier.
Right.
It's gotten harder, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so you stayed there your entire career.
Well, I was at Valley Center for 16 years or for 17 years.
Okay,
head girls basketball coach there for 16.
Yep.
At the high school, and did a lot of football. And I stayed there, and it was great. But some things changed, and I had kids, and things. Especially in the boys, I'm a girls basketball coach, especially in the boys, things were going bad. And we decided to make a change. And we came to another school that I'd actually competed against and knew a lot of people there. And we've been there for 10 full years now. We just finished year 10 there.
And what do you consider the difference between coaching guys? And, because you've coached both, guys and girls.
Yes, sir.
Being a guy is a different perspective, obviously. But
there's – I truly – in the six best years of my life are what probably changed me. We're going from being head girls basketball to being freshman boys basketball coach. And my son was in the program too. And I did that for 6 years. I was by myself every morning from 6 to – 7:30 in the morning, we practiced before school, and I had my 12 kids.
Yep.
And I actually realized, man, I wasn't a very good head coach to my freshman coach because we changed offenses and stuff all the time. And the ninth grade's about teaching and just getting kids better at basketball. And when you only practice 90 minutes, you got to get a lot done, and you got to learn to be efficient. So I'm a better coach now, and a lot of it has to do with experience.
It does. I mean, and that's what I have people, no lie. I mean, I probably, when we get off this, I'll have three things in my inbox. People ask me about coaching jobs, of how this drill, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you can just, part of it is you just got to go do, you got to give yourself as many experiences as possible.
Yes.
You know, it's like being a plumber. It's the exact same thing. We have a leak right now in our sink in our kitchen. So I'm literally trying to solve it myself. And I've been to the hardware store three times. Haven't quite figured it out yet. There might be a point where I have to call an expert in. But I'm going to, you know, all of it is giving me experiences. And I think all these things like, oh, I'm going to apply for my first job. I'm going to become a head coach. I'm going to coach in college. It's like, you know, all those guys have had thousands of experiences before they got to that point. You know,
certainly.
And that's what I would tell all the young coaches that are listening. It's like, go give yourself as many as experiences as you can. You will become a different coach when you coach third. I mean, Beeline said, you mean the prime example, he's coached every level. Now he's with the Cavs, you know.
Yes.
He learned, trust me, he learned something on every one. Every level he did, you know, teach it. Go volunteer and coach a fourth grade girls team and then try to get on a varsity staff and then try to do, you know, everything teaches you a little something.
And I would say, and to piggyback off that, I was the offensive coordinator at the high school, at my school before, at the high school level. And we had a pretty high level program and they got me to coach the third and fourth grade.
Right.
Just to get them in a huddle and to line up.
Right.
And once you learn to do that, and then, but it wasn't until my son was in fifth grade that we could functionally play football. And then it was fun, but you have to teach it.
But it's a teaching thing. It is a teaching thing. Now, I'm not saying what I've read on, and I've asked high level D1 guys, they spend about 15% of their day coaching the game. They spend about 85% of the game.
I don't want to do that.
No, I mean, they're great. Don't get me wrong. Those 15%, they're good teachers and they have guys under them that are unbelievably great teachers. But the game is about teaching. Like, my team can't set screens to save their lives. I'm going to spend the next 6 months figuring out how I can teach them better how to set screens. It's like, we're horrible at it. So I'm going to literally have to break it down to like a fourth grade level. Like, here's where your butt should go. Here's how you should be set. Here's how you should come off it. Here's how you should set it
up. You know, and I'm a bit, talking about screening, I was just reading about that yesterday. I am a big believer in, we don't headhunt. No. We position screens and make the cutter use it. Now, the screener, of course, needs to have his feet set and be where you want. But the one thing that I just learned yesterday watching something is the cutter shouldn't make a decision until the screener jump stops.
Right, until it stops.
And then it has a chance to slip and all that.
And you have to read what your defender's doing. They don't read it. It's like, I tell them, it's like you're going 90 and you just saw the cop. So now you're going to slow down to 65 or 70, and then you're going to get past the cop. And my guess is you're going to speed up again. It's like, you got to read.
I like that analogy.
You got to read the situation, people. And the big issue I saw last night for the people listening is butt to where you want them to go.
Yes.
So
yes, no doubt.
We had one of our contact days and literally they were setting screens and their butt was facing half court. I go, I don't want him cutting to half court.
Certainly. We say shoulder blades to where they want him to go.
Yeah.
The bounce play that we send him to the corner.
Yeah. It's so simple on that.
Now, are you pretty structured?
No, we run Read and React.
Read and React.
We're gonna put in a structured kind of high low. We stole some stuff from Virginia and a couple other places. Oh,
the Virginia stuff's good.
It is. So we've got some stuff in there. I want them to play. You know, it's funny, and this is for the young coaches listening too. It's like, or even the old ones. It's like I used to run flex and swing early in my career. You know, we were very structured. And that was when I had my best players out. You know, I had NBA guys at that point. But I had to slow them down and make them do some things. Now it's like we're not quite as talented, so I got to, you know, give them some freedom so it's harder to be predictable. But you got to change.
Think what I didn't understand, though, because I ran flex and I ran Kelvin Sampson stuff forever. You still, even if you're structured, you have to play within the structure and still read within the structure.
Right,
and
right.
That's what people.
And you have to adjust.
You asked the difference between girls and boys. Girls, they like to know where the cuts are coming, but we also, you know, get some options off of it. So we're not a read and react, but we are reading. We ran Underwood stuff this summer.
And that's good. I like that stuff.
The pinch post, I didn't think I could teach, but it's been good for us.
My theory is, too, all the stats. I'm a stats teacher. I'm a math teacher. So everyone's shooting threes and five-footers right now. So we're working on getting some, you know, kind of mid-range different things, kind of give different
looks. Here's the stat I would like to see because I was listening to a podcast yesterday. I don't know that people understand that a missed two-pointer – how many times do you get offensive rebounds on a missed two-pointer?
Right.
I think you get it. I think you get a lot.
I think you get more.
I don't have any – I have nothing to back that up. But, I think if you've gone around somebody and shot a pull-up, somebody's in the middle of rotation and you got a chance to get an offensive rebound.
It's an interesting – I'm going to do some digging on that. That is interesting.
Because I never played with a three-point line. And you probably didn't either because you're 52. No, I never played with a three-point line.
College. It was in college. I did in college.
I did in college. Okay.
And it's outside my range. Literally, I've lost like five games of horse to my players, literally, five in like 30 years. I never lose to them for two reasons. First of all, I know what to say to them to get in their heads.
Certainly.
And I can hit a 15-footer from the elbow with almost my – I beat one of my former players 2 days ago. He had one letter. I had one letter. He had five. We played horse. And I almost beat him on a blindfolded free throw. And they go, what do you mean? I said, I'll blindfold on the free throw. I've shot so many free throws. I know what it feels like. You line me up, I'll hit it. I missed it, but it was really close. The thing is, you need to know your specific range. That's the problem, is they don't know their specific range.
Certainly.
They get extended out.
And you know, that's funny you say that. We have a boys assistant that he's 15 years older than I am, so he's 66.
Right.
And every year we went to the state tournament, he told those kids, go stand and shoot five free throws before you do anything else because of the backgrounds. That will help you find your range because that should be a range that you know.
Right. I mean, I literally can close my eyes right now and feel a free throw. I can feel that distance. And it's like, but they haven't figured, going back to what I was saying, they haven't figured out that if they shot threes, they'd beat me every time. I'm old. I don't have that range.
Well,
I shot that range because it
was. Switch to the girls program, you can shoot with a 28.5
yes,
ball.
Yes, that's different. I brought a girls ball, I could do it. All right. So let's talk about your quotes. You have a couple.
Okay. The first one is mine.
Okay.
Don't be in a hurry to go nowhere. If you teach at a middle school, those kids, I don't have a clock in my room. And if they let me take the phone and the intercom out both, I'd let that happen. But we have kids that try to clean up 5 minutes before the bell and they're sprinting to the door to go to the next class that they don't necessarily want to be in yet. Take care of the business where you're at. And that's straight off Coach Wooden's be quick, but don't hurry. But I use it in the classroom, my number one quote, and my kids gave me a coffee mug with it. Don't be in a hurry to go nowhere.
Yeah. My grandma Mac used to say, don't wish your life away.
Exactly. That's like, a great one.
It is. I mean, God, that was 40 years ago, and I still remember that. And it's like, I do think you need things to look forward to. I think you need to plan trips and do things like that. I always think that, but I'm not like wishing, you know, to retire. I'm not wishing.
Remember, Superman is the only one that can, besides our creator, that could speed up or slow down by flying around the world. No one else can do it.
Right. Yeah. So I love that. So that takes care of one and two. Go to the next one, Coach. You are,
I think, and if this is in business, when I heard you say side gigs, I didn't know how much this was going to have to do with coaching, teaching.
It is. We'll get into the side gig thing in a second.
You're running a program, not a team. And I heard Bruce Weber, a lot of people here in Kansas don't like Bruce.
Really?
The Kansas State people don't. They're on him all the time. And part of the problem is he can't beat Bill Self, which he did this year. But here's something that he did, and I want to tell this story a little bit. I heard him speak when he was at Illinois and said, we cut corners to try to win that year, and that's what got us fired. They coached the next year and then got fired. And so when he came to K-State, he had a pretty decent team his first year, but he had a kid, I think his name was Brown. He ended up transferring to Creighton. Well, he was a cancer.
Right.
And Bruce, there was a whole article in Yahoo that Bruce said, never coach to save your job. And he got rid of three or four kids. And they had a bad year, but now they're knocking on the door all the time. And now that he's older, he's basically said, this is my last job. I'm going to do it my way.
Right.
And I'm going to be successful doing that, or I'm going to get fired by
him. Right, or I'm going to go.
And I think he's a tremendous coach. I still have his, and I ought to print it off. He gave me what he calls his son's game, which is basically full court 3-on-3, 11-second shot clock, and he drew the whole thing up, and we run it. And it's a great drill. I mean,
everybody. I'd love to see that.
As a matter of fact, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to see that. Yeah, I mean, I think that's like, you know, I always tell people, I think there is some freedom when you get older. Like, you know, I've won 3 state champs. I mean, I've coached so long. I mean, if they told me I couldn't coach next year, if that would have happened in my 30s, it would have been devastating. Happens now, shoot, I'm going to dig out my boat and go fishing, you know.
Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go coach something. I'm going to go coach something.
Yeah.
I play golf, but I don't, my body's breaking down a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I used to golf before I coach. I don't fish even hardly at all anymore either. So I love that. All right. So let's talk about the side gig thing. So you were saying, because I personally think, so this is my issue. I think it was even yesterday, they were talking about how people, it was a USA Today article yesterday that basically was talking about how people think teachers have the summer off.
Oh, certainly.
I haven't had a summer off in 30 years because every teacher just doesn't teach. I mean,
certainly.
And that was different. I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I don't know if that was different when I started, that, you know, teachers didn't have 2 or 3 side gigs or side hustles when they started.
Certainly.
I've got like 7. This is the podcast and stuff is just fun, but that's what I wanted to hear what you had to say about the side gig thing.
Well, I'm lucky. My wife has a really good job.
That's good.
So you
married up, Coach. That's what I always say. You married up. Good job.
Yeah, my parents taught her mom. Basically what I would tell you, know, June is all basketball for us. We start the day after Memorial Day and we have our camp. The next week we have summer league every Monday, 2 nights, and we work on, they're in the weight room 4 days a week, 2 days a week they go to basketball. If they're basketball only kids, they can come in and shoot on their own Wednesday, Thursday. The other kids go to volleyball. We go to one overnight team camp, which is at Pittsburgh State, my alma mater, played 8 games. And we also they have a 2-minute tournament down there. And one thing that I want to tell everybody and advocate for is, you want to get better at special situations, you got to have a 2-minute tournament. or and I'll tell you how to do it at the end of your summer league games. But and then we went to Hutch Community College, which is driving distance, and that's just a day deal. And so, you know, all we do is our kids. We do most of our stuff in June, and so I'm until our moratorium, which was July 1st through 8th, where you couldn't do anything or use any of the facilities.
Right.
You know, we did all basketball basically until the 21st of, you know, I did nothing else. I went to a clinic in Atlanta. I went to USA Basketball Clinic in Atlanta, and I took my son, who is diving into the coaching world and he's living in my basement.
That's good for him. No.
He's going to be an assistant coach at Bethel College in Newton. So I'm trying to guide him a little bit.
Now, how old is he?
He's 22.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. For all the 20-year-olds listening to this, 20s are when you should figure out what you want to do in your life.
Exactly.
And I swear to God, I've told my son this. I told my daughter this. 20s is like if you have to live on a friend's couch or live in our basement, I don't care. Figure it out in your 20s. Because people will help you in your 20s.
Yeah.
They won't open doors for you in your 20s. They won't open doors for you and I anymore. Shoot. So go figure out what you want to do. Travel the world. Figure it out because you have no responsibilities other than yourself.
And one thing, and I do think that we are still lifetime teachers. I will help him as much as I can. I paid for his clinic and all that.
Right.
He's going up to play in a golf tournament and wanted extra cash.
Right.
This weekend. So right. That's on you. Right. I said, no, I'm not, you know, I'm going to, he needs to learn that it's going to be tough working his ladder being a coach. So sometimes we have to say no as parents.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm not a bank. Yeah.
No. And then I will go work Snow Valley in 2 weeks.
Okay. That's great.
I took 8 kids last year and we don't have any going this year, but I still, it's a group of guys I really like and girls. So I'll drive up and do that.
That's great. Yeah. So I think that, you know, I always say that a great side gig is like camps. A great side gig is, especially for young people, you know, if you're a coach or you're in that profession, in my 20s, I would spend the whole summer working different camps. I met so many different people. It opened so many different doors. And that's what I did. I mean, I was like, I'd work Monday through Thursday or Friday, I'd go home for a couple of days, go back and do it a repeat. You know, you don't make a lot, but you learn a lot. And I think camps are a great way to kind of tackle it.
The rules in Kansas changed. We used to not be able to work with our kids at all. So
right,
camps were big. I went to a camp every summer. I went to overnight. I went to Heart of America. I went to KU. I always went to a day camp at Leavenworth, and I like that block of that's all you're doing for 3 days is basketball and nothing else. That's kind of changed around here a little bit. Kids aren't wanting to do that as much. I don't know. And I think you have to figure out what your kids will do and do a lot of that. Not that you won't work on fundamentals, but we played more games this summer.
Right.
Than we have in the past. Now we're a lot more experienced too.
Right. And I think you have to read your group. Like
exactly.
Some groups need to, like, I have a group coming up that needed to play a lot. We're pretty talented. I mean, they didn't, you know, we still get them in the gym. Wisconsin changed the rules too. So I think that was a good thing to move it back into the high schools. To allow us to have some contact, to allow us to do some stuff. I think was a great move.
When I first started, you could only have 3 kids play together or 2 kids play together. And then it was 5 kids could play together, but you couldn't coach them. And so they'd get around on all these different teams now that I have control of them, and I'm in a good place. We're a public school with 1 Catholic church.
Right.
So I'm not necessarily teaching and coaching in the real world.
Right. Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It does. It does. Trust me. It does. All right. So tell me about the books that you put on here.
Oh, that certainly. Certainly. You know, and I think I put down on this that they make a lot more sense when you're older. I always say I wish I'd have read them when I was younger, but, you know, I don't know if I'd have listened to them you know, my dad said, I told you all that stuff when you were growing up. But The Growth Mindset's probably the number one book that has changed me a little bit by Carol Dweck. And it's helped me as much on the classroom as it has on the court. We say good job all the time.
Yep.
You know, and I know they did the deal on John Wooden his last year where the guys did they followed him around and did all of his positives, negatives, and all that. But I tell my coaches, we are not going to tell – we need to tell them why they did a good job.
Right.
Or what they did. I've been around some kids that can run drills perfectly and they try to please you and everything, and then they can't play because they won't exit their comfort zone.
Right, right.
And the only way you can get better is and this goes along with the talent code of finding your sweet spot.
Well, that, I think it also goes back to the business part, like for, you know, anything in life, you know, you're going to fail. Like the first couple of businesses I started were poof, you can hear certain, the thud.
And you learn, but you learn something from
it. But I learned something. It's like I learned that, you know, all right, find the minimal viable product. Spend the least amount of money to see if there's any interest. Don't
certain.
You know, because the first time it's like having your first team, you think, oh, we're going to win it all. It's like your first business, you think, oh, well, what island am I going to buy in the Caribbean? You know, you get this unrealistic expectation, and then you have to learn like, well, okay, that's not enough. You need to be able to do other things to be able to
certainly.
Be, yeah, yeah. And it's that growth mindset. I always use the analogy, especially at camp. I said, I live about, you know, 2 miles from school. I said, do you think I can, I always ask my young kids, I said, I take a ball and I said, do you think I can dribble this ball to my house, which is about 2 miles? And they go, yeah. And I said, when I get to the house, do you think I'm a better dribbler if I do that? And they all look and they
like kind of, that.
Yeah. And they go, well, no. I go, well, why not? Because you're just walking and dribbling. I go, yes, because I'm not pushing outside my comfort zone. If I did this as fast as I could, or I took two balls and I did cross it, you think I'd lose the ball sometimes? You think I could go all 2 miles and not lose it? They go, well, no. Do you think I would be a better dribbler when I got to the house? Yes. It's like, well, there's your answer. I applaud when they make the mistake. I swear to God. It's like,
oh, certainly.
Good job. And they look at me, what do you mean? I go, you want to push to that point of making a mistake.
And you should say good job and you applaud effort.
Yes. Effort. Yes. I said, I'm not applauding the mistake. I'm applauding.
Exactly.
And I tell them why. I said, that's it. You're pushing yourself. Good job. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is, that specific thing. That was a great, but it's like, I don't applaud that you can dribble down and dribble back. Okay. You haven't pushed yourself.
Okay. Round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it was funny. Yeah.
We have what we call teach technique mode. And then game mode, kind of, right. If that makes any sense. And we tell our kids, we try to do at least 3 reps of everything. Rep one is try to get it right, or is to learn it. Rep two is to do it quicker. And then rep three is to do it faster than you think you can and possibly make a mistake. And then, you know, I call that finding your sweet spot.
What do you call that? I love that. So the first rep.
Well, we have teach mode, teach / technique mode. So when we start a practice, our kids know all I've got to do. I give them a practice schedule every day, and I'm going to put a note at the top. And let me digress here for just a second. I put a note at the top that says that they have to read. Like the first day of camp, we had six seniors. Well, we had to have six seniors at six different baskets. Well, they didn't read the top because we started at 5:45 in the morning.
Right.
We came in and did push-ups.
Right.
And then we got that squared away. But we start with form shooting, and that's teach and technique. And okay. Then so when you're doing teach, anytime we're in form shooting or our partner 26 drill or whatever our pre-practice shooting is, that's form and tech. That's teach and technique.
Okay.
So if you're in teach and technique, you're trying to get it right. And
okay.
So we're going to say, okay, we're trying to get this right. So if we're in a drill, let's just say what we call oddball shooting, which is our 15-foot come into the key and catch. The first time you're trying to go off your inside pivot foot, a middle school kid, they're trying to get the inside pivot foot right, shoot, do it right. Second time, do it quicker. Third time, do it and see yourself break down.
Right, so the first time you're just going really slow.
No, not necessarily slow, but trying to get it right. Trying to get it right. So okay. Teach and tech, when we're in teach mode, we're not full go. And then I find in practice, and we will still do, we don't do hardly any 5-on-0. And I'll tell you one reason. You said I start off running flex offense. And after I went back and watched the films, I mean, I was 23 years old. We weren't screening anybody.
Right.
So we've always put defense out there when we teach, but we also then we'll say, hey, we're live now. You know, so they have to know when we're live. Just like in football, we're in thud.
Yeah. We were doing live. Yep.
And you've got to remind them of that sometimes. So yep. that's my so we have a teach technique mode, and then you know, we have the make mistake mode, and then you know, obviously game mode. So
okay.
And then I would say the third book that I have on here, and I don't know how many of you have read The Four Agreements by Ruiz, here, this is the five. I just got the fifth. Can you see me?
I can't. I see a big T.
Oh, okay. You just see a big T. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, I have the fifth agreement, but the fourth agreement is matter of fact, I was reading it before Tom Brady was, and basically it helps you as an individual.
Okay.
Basically, one of the quotes in there is, you know, like the four agreements are be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally. And that hit me very, very, really helped me the most. My first year of being a varsity coach, the second time around, I had two of the worst emails. I had one of the worst meetings and one of the worst emails I've ever gotten in the history of coaching.
Right.
And remember, don't take anything personally means whatever anybody thinks of you is their problem and not yours.
It is.
And there's all sorts of stuff in this book.
And I swear to God, here's what I tell young coaches too. It's like, don't take it personal.
Exactly.
You can't be rational with an irrational person.
Certainly.
This is mama bear or papa bear coming out, which will literally eat you before they let anything happen. So they're not being rational at that point. So let them vent, let them tell them their side of the story, but it's not, for the most part, I would say 99.9% aren't personal attacks.
Certainly.
They are literally like, you know, it's a mama bear with two cubs and they're trying to protect them.
Certainly.
That's all it is. It literally is instinctual, I think.
Well, and if you, you know, and then, and I don't even know where I had that in here, and it wasn't on books, but one of the things that I've always, you know, are we going to get to successes and failures?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'll talk about that when I get there. I
mean, okay. All right. So that was your third book. Okay. So, your favorite drill, favorite practice drill?
Well, if I were going to do one, you know, we used to have tryouts at the freshman level. We had tryouts. We'd have 25 kids come. We're going to keep 12. You know,
right.
We've got about three. We're going to look and see how they shoot and all that kind of stuff. But
you can see how athletic they are, too.
Yeah, and to see how athletic they are. You know, and you can go do – we had a few layup drills, but – The one drill we do is some people call it 3-on-3 continuous. I call it UCLA drill because it's a John Wooden drill. Okay. 3-on-2 with a trailer continuous.
So you do the trailer. Where is the trailer coming from?
Bring them in from half court.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
You got the three guys and the two coming in, and we always start off. We always start off not letting them press.
Yep. Okay.
And then to me, you can play that for 15, you know, for 15 minutes. If they told me you have one day to pick a team, I'm going to go watch them shoot around and see what their form looks like.
Right.
I'm going to watch them shoot a layup. I'm going to do a rebounding drill because there are some kids that can just go find the ball. And then we're going to play UCLA.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's full court 3-on, you know, or I would play full court 3-on-3.
Okay.
You know, and see what the kids knew. And if I had one drill that I had to do and just teach out of, that would probably be it.
I think the game is a 3-on-3 game.
It is.
I've said that a million times. Every league, until they're in almost late middle school, they should only be playing 3-on-3. To be honest with you,
this.
You can't hide. You have to play. You can't hide. You have to be active. It's like I make my guys play 3-on-3. It's like they don't do it enough.
Here is one thing that we did. There are two drills that I have that we do at camp that I love, and they're called Bonanza.
Okay.
One of them is what we call Shooting Bonanza. And I ended up doing a 3-on-3 bonanza. So hang with me here for a minute. Cause sometimes you have to go in and you have to pick teams and say, okay, team one's going to play team two and all this kind of stuff. When you have 15 teams at camp.
Yep.
So I'm going to get in, I'm going to put two teams at each basket. You guys, and I bet you've done this. There's one basket that the winner stays.
Yep.
And they're going to shoot against each other to three.
Okay.
If you win at the bonanza basket, you stay. If you lose, you rotate clockwise.
Okay.
And all the other baskets, the winner goes to the next basket and challenges the next team. Your goal is to get to the bonanza basket and stay right there and win, and you count the wins. So we did 3-on-3 at camp, and so we had, and I was in a small gym, so I had 2 3-on-3 games going on the side goals. The main goal was the bonanza basket. So if you won at the main goal, you stayed. We played two baskets as soon as somebody got up 2 points. So winner stayed at that main basket, and then you just kept rotating them, and then you kept track of wins that way instead of putting them all out in a middle circle and saying – so anyway, so those are two – you know, I think the 3-on-3, and then we use Snow Valley cutthroat rules. If they're not up playing defense, you lost, you're out. Okay. If, you know, if they don't square up,
right,
use dribble rule, all that kind of stuff.
All that stuff. Okay. Yeah. Do you have any of these diagrams that we could share with the listeners?
I will work on it.
Okay.
I will work on it.
If nothing else, put them on a piece of paper, Coach. I'll PDF
them. I will.
And
blah, blah, blah. I will.
Because what was the name of the other one that you mentioned that you were going to take a picture of earlier? You said you were going to send me.
I got it. Yeah, I've got it. Oh, the Suns game. I'll take a picture of it. It's
okay.
Write that down.
Is it sun like sun in the sky or sun?
As in suns, as in Phoenix Suns. Bruce Weber called it Suns game, and he diagrammed it for me.
Okay.
It's basically it's better than 3-on-3 continuous.
Okay.
Cause you can beat anyway. I will take a picture of that and,
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I'll share it, and I'll put that on the show notes along with your book. Yeah. I put all that stuff in the show notes because usually people are either jogging or in the car or
commuting. Oh, I know.
When they're listening. So I always put it all down in the show notes.
And, Steve, let me tell you something else that I think in teaching that we – most of us, you're 52 and I'm 50 – I think you need to learn to embrace technology. Now, I carry a pen. The kids make fun of me because I carry a pen up here in my deal all the time, and I have a notebook.
Oh, I have a notebook too, man.
Notes, but I'm telling you, I walk around the track every day while my youngest daughter's in weights, and I use my notes on my phone. And
see, I do, but it's like that gets lost in the noise for me. I have this little black binder that's above my hand. I swear to God. And it's like – And it's like anytime I'll be walking the dogs and it's like, oh, I like that. And I'll write it down.
I don't always have that with me.
Yeah, it literally, it's my wallet and that always come with me.
The other thing I do with my notes is, like, for instance, I'm going to go to Jim Boone's clinic October 4th.
Yep, that'll be great. Clinic.
And so you can, if you take a picture of something, you hit download and you can put it right into your notes instead of taking it and trying to find it in your pictures.
So where's Jim Boone's? Where he's in Arkansas?
He is in Arkansas now. He was at Delta State, and that just moved his clinic 4 hours closer to me. I've sat down and visited with him.
And you're where?
I'm in Kansas, right by Wichita.
Okay.
We have school. Long story. We got.
Yeah, I'm not speaking anything super close. I'm outside Atlanta in September, but that's not.
Well, and I saw that, and I am going to try. We're not going to make it this year, but the seven. Are you speaking on the 720 Sports Group? Is that the?
No, I'm speaking of the Legends one. There's a Key 5 one that's good too. Okay. That's outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
Mine's like September 14th. I'm speaking of one in North Carolina, but that's obviously much farther too.
Yeah, and I've already flown to one, and I'm going to Vegas with my dad in the fall. So I've
Vegas.
My wife. Well, we're just gonna go sit in sports.
Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong. I tell people that I teach stats, so I say, you know, craps is the second best game ever invented, and they look at me like, well, Mr. Collins, what's the first? And then I just look at them, and then they go, oh, basketball. I go, yeah. There you go. You figured
you
out.
Want to learn, I'm not very good with stats or numbers, but I can tell you everything that you can do on a craps table on the right side.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a great thing. All right. So tell me about successes and failures. I always like talking.
Okay. Well, and you know, it's funny you ask that. It's not like here, I only put down, I put down three things for successes.
Right.
Being right about a kid. Okay. Being wrong about a kid. And what I mean by that is, you know, you figured it out, and you were right that kid could help you in that situation. And then maybe, because you have to project in your program, sometimes you might have been wrong about where a kid was supposed to be or whatever, but the parents stuck with you. And I had a girl my first year. I took the program over my when she was a sophomore. That was just 3-4 years ago, and she was only a sophomore, and I know she was frustrated because there were a lot of kids getting moved up in front of her. Her junior year, she came off the bench, started a little bit. And she was the number two vote getter MVP her senior year.
Right.
We got second in the state. And she almost single-handedly brought us back to win it. And I was probably wrong about her.
Yep.
But I was also on failures, being right about a kid.
Right.
I had a kid at my old school. I got so mad at him one day in eighth grade, I picked up a book and threw it all the way through to the other teacher's room. And I he did a whole bunch of other stuff. And I said, you know, in my mind, something bad's going to happen to him later. He killed his parents. But that's a failure. Being right about a kid is a failure.
Right. It is.
Being wrong about a kid.
There's a kid in my house that didn't play in the last game we lost when we lost in tournament. He lives in my house. He was a junior. It's like, and it's like the walks I've had and torn with between myself. It's like, did I not play him because he was my kid? Did I not play him because he wasn't ready? But the best thing that's come out of it is like, he's like a man on a mission now. Like,
let me tell you what
all year he played. I mean, he got 10, 12 minutes, but
I was the freshman coach when my son played. He played six quarters a night his junior year on varsity. We could play six. And then obviously only varsity as a senior. But when I released him to our head basketball coach, our head boys coach, and our boys program is tremendous. I said, and I told my JV coach this with my daughter. I said, listen, don't play my kid because it's my kid, but don't not play my kid because it's my kid.
Right. And it's hard. I'm telling you, it is like, I got like 17 podcasts I'm going to do once he's out of the house.
Oh, certainly. Well, you ought to have one on coaching your kid.
It's so hard. It is so hard. I mean, because it's like there's two little people on your shoulders.
Certainly.
There are. And it's like, I think I've gone the other way. Be honest with you, I think.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt that we.
And it's like, that's not fair to him. So it's like, I have good assistant coaches. I have really good assistant coaches that will. Hey, we need him. Hey, we need him. You know, because he can shoot like my son can like crazy shoot. Like,
well, and mine could too.
Yeah, it's something about coaches.
He can only spot up though.
Yeah, but like Drew can spot up. Drew, and he's taken his game to the next level over the last 6 months. But it's legit like the new NCAA 22-23.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's like, whoa. But it's amazing because the assistants will go, we need Drew. We need Drew. You know, it's like, I'm going, oh, you know, it's like, because I'm looking at the defensive. It's like, oh, my God, it's so hard. It's so hard. But it's also been one of the joys in my life. to be honest with you.
Oh, well, and what I would say, if you do that coaching your kid podcast, and you always look back on what you could have done. My son was a great spot up shooter. I mean, I would put him against anybody shooting.
Right.
You know, we do the five spot, we do the shot, fake one dribble. He could hit everything.
Yep.
Now, had I read Growth Mindset and Talent Code prior to him getting right up to high school, both golf and basketball, he needed to exit his comfort zone. He wouldn't shoot with somebody in his face.
Yep.
And he needed to take that next step. And I thought I probably should have had him doing the hop step a little earlier.
The thing is, that's where I've gotten with Drew now. It's like,
I'm a 1-2 guy, but the same thing in golf.
He gotta be both.
I think every situation calls for it, but he was a really good golfer too. And he was doing really, really well, but we needed to move him farther back. He never made it in college because he couldn't take that next step.
Right.
There's all sorts of walls you got to break through.
Right.
But that's with any kid.
That's any kid. That doesn't matter if it's a coach's kid. All right. Any parting words, coach? Let's talk about your blog and stuff.
Well, you know, I don't have a blog now. I put stuff on Twitter all the time. I'm at Pick and Roll Basketball.
Okay.
And then I'm on Facebook as well.
Okay.
They can send me an email. I have all sorts of stuff that I'll send. I think I sent you our playbook.
You did. I'm going to put that. I'm going to share that with everybody.
That's fine. I can care. You know, and I hope all the coaches in our area read it and spend all their time worrying about me instead of everyone else. Because that's one of the things that I don't know. I'd say what I would want to close with is, you know, make sure that the key is owning your classroom and your gym, because I thought this was going to be more about like teaching in the classroom.
Right.
You know, own your classroom and worry more about your team than everybody else. You know thyself, everything from Sun Tzu and all that kind of stuff. And I would say my last thing, and one of my favorite Chuck Daly coach quotes is, you know, land the plane. Your job as the pilot is to land the plane without anybody getting killed. And that's what I tell our kids. I said, listen, guys, I'm the pilot. There's going to be some rocky roads, but we're going to get this plane landed and landed right. And I think my whole goal, and I heard this before I heard this guy say it on a USA Coaches Clinic deal, is I want our kids to be crying because it's over. Not because they lost their last game. I want them to be crying because
their
career's over. I mean, and hopefully they got something out of it. But you never know. You have no idea what influence you've had on them until 20 years down the road anyway.
Yes.
Hopefully you've had some.
And hopefully it's a positive one. Yes.
That's and I'm going to –
You don't want to be a kid's last coach is always my thing. You never want to be a kid's last coach if you can. And it's hard when you're a high school coach. Sometimes you just are going to be. But especially in the youth, I always tell my youth coaches, you do not want to be this kid's last basketball coach. Because that means they didn't have an experience that they wanted to come back.
Ooh, I like that.
Never be a kid's last basketball coach. You know, there's a point where it's like only so many kids can play collegiate. But in the youth, you know, all the studies, everything comes back about, are they having fun? Do they enjoy it? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like no one's going to remember their fifth grade tournament in June ever.
Right.
I know.
Hey, one other author that one other book that really did change me a little bit, and I didn't think of it. Bruce Brown is one of the best writers of how to coach and how to treat kids.
Bruce Brown, you said?
His name is Bruce Brown, and I have several of his books, and he's big on positive conditioning.
Do you have one name so I can look him up? I'll put him in the show notes.
Bruce Brown is his name.
But do you know a name of one of the books?
Yeah, let me get one.
There's probably more than one Bruce Brown on Amazon, probably. I don't know. It's kind of like Steve Collins, you know. There's lots of Steve Collins's. He's going to look right now, is my guess. I will put all of this down in the show notes, all the stuff
you've been talking about. It's positive. He's in positive coaching alignment. Okay. And it's like, coach.
You send that to me when you send the drills.
I will. And I'll take a couple pictures of the book. But the one thing that he changed me on is he talks about positive conditioning. And we are big on you get to condition. Conditioning is a privilege. Right. So if we do a drill, and like for instance, when we do our partner shooting, we're at 6 baskets, and we'll say pair up, shoot to 10, and which is an old Bobby Knight deal. You just rebound your own shot.
Right.
So the first group in, they get to do one push up. The second group in gets to do two, et cetera, et cetera. So we never have winners and losers.
Right.
Somebody just gets to do less. And one thing that we do in over Christmas during our boot camp is what we call boot camp is we will the winners get to run more. So if you win your 5-on-5 drill, you get to run 3 down backs or whatever, or 3 lengths, and the second place team gets to run 2, and the third place team only gets to run 1. If that makes any sense.
Right, it does.
So you're using reverse psychology, and you're also seeing who's going to compete. But we don't do that all the time.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great change up for that. I love that.
Well, and I'll take a picture of the book and send
it. Okay, I appreciate it.
He has a drill called Eliminator. I know we're getting ready to quit, but
no, it's like I'm dinging. Yeah. I got one in. Thank you so much for being on, Coach.
And I'm gonna send you an email about your website too.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
All right, brother. Hey, right. Appreciate it. Yep. Hey, where can I find this?
Find this. Yep. So this is gonna be in a couple different places, I think. I'm gonna put it on Coach Unplugged. That will probably
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.